Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I want to thank me. I want to thank me for believing in me. I want to thank me for doing all this hard work. I want to thank me for having no days off. I want to thank me for never quitting. I want to thank me for always being a giver and trying to give more than I receive. I want to thank me for trying to do more right than wrong. I want to thank me for just being me at all times. Snoop Dogg, you a bad motherfucker, cuz.
Welcome back to the Lads Podcast. Hello, Stiffy.
G'day, Barney. Fucking welcome back for another week.
Fuck yes. What's going on?
Mate, I'm enjoying that intro and I'm enjoying the Lads Podcast. Yeah, it's fucking great.
Snoop.
He's great. So, mate, we have our very first guest on board today.
Fuck yes.
This is episode number 9 and welcome, JR.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Everyone, this is Justin. This is a buddy of mine that I race with. Now, as you have over the last 8 episodes, I have spoken about this man a lot about the racing side of things. And it's like, well, why not get him on for the very first, I guess, guest episode?
Fuck yeah. We'll have to get him a hat.
Have we got hats?
Well, yeah, let's just say yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Have we got...
Here you go, JR, take this hat.
Have we got hoodies? Yes, let's just say yes. Welcome, mate. How are you?
I'm really good, mate. How's yourself?
Good. Are you thirsty?
Absolutely.
Oh, righto.
Fuck, that's the first thing we should get into. Let's crack a few tins. I'll just go to the fridge.
Yeah, righto. You ready?
Yep. Okay, here we go. What do you got there, Russ? Diffy?
Well, mate, I'm on the hard rater today. The old vodka, the old, you know, the hard rater. Here we go.
Oh, that sounds good. What are you having, JR?
We're on the JDs here, mate.
Ooh. JDs, right, yeah. Out. Let me crack mine.
What are you? Well, hang on. What do you want? Oh, yeah.
I'm going the hard solo,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, fuck, I couldn't see it. Okay. Here we go.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's a man that drags it out.
Very nice.
I just vomited in my mouth with a burp. I tried to hold it in. Yeah, no, he sends me during the week. He sends me audio files. So you know how like I would probably message you and say, "Hey, I finished work. I'm going to the pub." Right?
Yep.
No. Old mate over here just sends me an audio file of him cracking a tinny. That's it. It's just an audio file.
And I'm going to do it every day for 365 days a year.
That's all you need to know.
Correct. Yeah. Anyway, so welcome, JR.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks for being our guinea pig for our first guest episode. And let's talk a little bit about you.
Yeah, let's do
it. What's been happening? What's happening this week?
What's been happening this week?
Yep.
Oh, quite a bit. Obviously prepping for, well, not obvious to the listeners, but obvious to yourself that I'm prepping for another drive to Alice Springs.
Well, yes.
We actually did not touch base on this, so we left this alone.
We did, didn't we?
Just for you. So Steve has told me about the story about this.
Yeah.
And it's a journey. Like the what you have had to do to get out there and back just as a normal and then...
Yeah,
what's actually happened?
So I gave the listeners a good overview on Fink on sort of my experiences. And the race a little bit itself. Yeah. And I guess let's talk about the race. Let's talk about that just a little bit. Fink 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Your third Fink.
Yes.
And tell me about it. Tell me about Fink 2024. What do you reckon about it?
Well, I reckon it was a pretty good event. The track was a bit rougher this year, as you know. There was a bit of water, a bit of moisture, so the dust was down, but it was definitely rougher than previous years.
Yeah.
So I certainly wouldn't have liked to be on a bike this year.
Yeah, correct. So now, little things we did differently this year was we walked Prologue track that I mentioned in the previous potty.
Yeah.
It was helpful, wasn't it?
I feel like it was a big help.
Yeah.
And the results showed.
100% yeah. Because this is our third Fink in the car and the first two qualifiers weren't the best.
No.
Or prologuing. So walking it and talking about it, 100%. That's
the first couple of years, the dust has been a huge issue in the site lap as well.
Correct.
So it's basically been just a parade lap round, follow the leader and barely see the car in front. So you really don't get a good gauge for the track until it's time to qualify.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's certainly been dust issues in qualifying.
Correct.
So, getting to walk the track, doing the full 8K with the crew, having a good look at the lines, checking out where the puddles were, which is unheard of, I think. It definitely paid off, and we went out with more confidence than we certainly would normally have.
Yeah, and we came back, obviously, when we did the prologue, we got 6 out of 50 cars, or 52?
I think it was 45.
Oh, 45. There you go.
Yep.
So that put us in a good position for race day one. Yep. Yes. Race day one went. How'd it go, mate?
It went really well until it didn't.
And how far were we into that race?
So we made a little bit of an error with car placement in the early hours of the morning when the crew dropped us off hit the highway to head down to the Fink Township. We drove the car pretty much into the staging area, which in hindsight, we really should have left it in the pit area because when it was time to gear up, climb in and strap in, we had no opportunity to circulate the pits, get any sort of warmth in the car.
Yep.
The engine was fine to get some engine temp in it, but the belt temp issue caught us out. So I remember sitting on the line looking across at the temp gauge in front of yourself and it's being like 3 degrees.
Correct. Yep. I remember that too.
So there's no time to wait for it to warm up at that stage. It's just go for it and see what happens. And we only got about 12 kilometres before she decided to put a leg out of it.
Yep, correct.
In a big way. Kick the big hissy fit.
Yeah. And I was actually told too that Justin, you actually didn't get out and help Steve either. He said that you just sat in there and fucking expected him to do the whole lot himself.
100%.
Fucking that's the good rules. On you too. That's I the fucking rules. Like it.
Yeah, well, yeah. Most of the
my
time.
My car, you get out and fix the fucker.
Correct. But I'm just sitting there doing nothing, right? Yeah. So it's like, oh, I'll get this, shall I?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the mindset in that, when I've had some previous navvies in the car and a particular race, the Don River Dash, which is very hard for belts.
Mm.
Steve and I haven't had to do a belt there, nor any other race for that matter. But when I've had other navvies in the car that are less experienced mechanically, I've certainly jumped out and given them a hand.
Yep.
What we found was there's a lot of time busted trying to strap back in.
Yep.
So the mindset in that is, and it's a general sort of unspoken rule that the driver says strapped in and settled, and the navvy gets in and the driver helps him buckle up and, you know, once he's got his belts on, we can get going again. Mm. You know, we can plug helmet air and comms and, you know, the niceties, drink bottles and all that sort of stuff. We can plug that in as we go. But once the safety gear's on, we can get going. So,
yeah.
So it's a speed thing, really.
So it's
100%.
Yeah. And realistically, when you're changing the belt down there, there's only room for one person anyway.
Yeah.
Like you don't need two people out of the car.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And Steve is pretty quick.
Could have been quicker, but anyway. That was me first one in a rush. Yeah. It was good.
Yeah, given that it was our first, I think we still had a bit of a system, whereas he threw me the tools, got out the car, I then got the tools sorted, passed them out through the window.
Yep.
When he was done with the tools, he passed them back in, I got them sorted and tucked away while he was putting belt covers back on.
And that's the thing, it's all about systems, isn't it? Like it's making the best of a worst.
Yeah. Correct.
100%, yeah.
The GoPro showed me out of the car for 6 minutes, which is... sounds quick, but at the same time, we can do a whole lot quicker than that. I had problems with the belt itself. Normally, when that belt breaks, it could just take it out. But it was actually wedged in where the back half of the belt cover was broken. It was actually wedged in there, so I had to try and whip that off.
Yeah.
And also the new belt that we put on was zippy tied onto the back of the cage, and we actually forgot the side cutters.
We got a bit complacent with not having to do a belt before, and it was the first meeting that was no side cutters on the car. So.
Yeah.
So Steve had to
Bust the zip ties off, which didn't take
commando on it.
Didn't take too much long. I just got the guns.
A question.
Out. Yeah,
I've got a question. So that belt was obviously not warmed up. The belt on the back of the thing is obviously not warmed up.
Yeah.
What's the difference there?
Well, that's a really good question. And the belt on the back of the car also has an unknown history, as in it's been on the car, it's secondhand. And I was, like Steve said, it cost us 6 minutes out of the car, but the true cost of what time it really, took who knows, because I definitely drove, you know, 90% the rest of the way thinking we can't afford to do another belt.
Belt's not really warmed up. It's not pre-warmed or anything.
No, like, but it has been in a race, so it's actually kind of like the internal integrity of that belt was no longer stiff like a new belt is. So it had done an unknown amount of kilometers. It might have done 200 or 300 kilometers, that belt.
Yep.
And as I was putting it on, I'm like, oh, I'm probably going to be doing this belt change again in about 30 kilometers.
Yeah, that was a big concern of mine.
And we only had one more spare belt to go and with 210 kilometers still to travel. So a lot of unknowns when you blow a belt at 12 k's. It was kind of like it should be the opposite. We should be blowing a belt with 12 k's to go, not 12 k's out of Alice Springs.
It's a valid point. I mean, the fact that it was on the back of the car, it might have copped a little bit of sun. Not much though. That time of year,
Still 3 degrees.
That's right. But it was certainly. I mean, maybe if I drove as hard as I did the first 12K, it would have blown. You know what I mean?
Like, so were you a bit more cautious when you took off with this new second-hand belt?
The second-hand belt.
100%.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And that did show in our overall times.
Yeah.
And fuel supply, which we'll talk about a bit too. But So that was our first little issue.
Yeah, I mean, the rest of the way was, I wouldn't say it was conservative, but it wasn't balls to the wall by any means.
Mm.
It was all about, right, we've had an issue, we've lost some time. You know, let's get it down there and let's race it back.
Yeah, correct.
That's what was going through my mind.
Yep.
We couldn't afford to have another incident, a flat tire and a blown belt. We'd already struck that chord and we just needed to get it down there.
Yeah, correct.
Get the car serviced and ready for the next day.
And we did that. That dirty old belt that was zippy tied to the back of the car, in an unusual shape.
Yeah.
That got us 215 kilometres all the way down to Fink. And you know what? You probably could have that same belt done the day two race back. But, you know, you do
that's
service
testing,
the car.
Though. That's where sort of these big race teams have the knowledge and the data to actually test.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's these things to the absolute limit, the breaking point.
And that's a good question, because we always talk about our belt temperatures a lot in the car when we're driving, and we have a certain temperature that we like to hang around, and as it gets higher to that point, my voice gets louder. I'm like, I'm starting to get, we're getting up there, you know? But we can't duplicate that in a test.
No.
Because you can go out to a back paddock, you run out of, some of the laps we do are 80 kilometers long, and some of the straights that we've got, we can, you know, they can be 4, 5, 6 kilometers long, especially down at Rainbow that we just did. You can't just go and duplicate that in the back paddock, because there's trees, there's fence posts, there's gullies, there's whatever. So the only time you get to do a bit of testing, it's unfortunately in a race environment.
Yeah, it's just years of racing, isn't it?
Yep. So our belt temperature, we don't really know the extremities of what's good for our scenario with the car, things that we've got around it. We certainly are going to be stretching that belt temperature a little bit hotter.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There is another factor too. Why did the second-hand belt last a bit longer than that? Well, it lasted.
Mm.
It certainly lasted longer because it lasted
100%.
But we lost the outer clutch cover as well.
Mm.
So there was damage to the inner clutch cover. Whether that meant that Steve couldn't get the clutch cover back on.
Yeah.
Correctly, or whether the clips just come loose, but we actually lost the whole outer cover and our thermo fan and the wiring, the whole show, not long after we got going again. So so the fact that there was no cover there was almost no heat issues.
Yeah, so the thermo fan may actually, do you flick it? Let it run open? No,
because the risk of damage is high.
Yeah.
So we got lucky that we didn't cop a rock or...
Yep. Yep.
You know, if you get the spray that comes off the being all drive, the spray that comes off the front wheels and the roost is substantial. So
we're very, very fortunate that we didn't get a bucket full of rocks in there and do damage to the clutch.
So you end up finishing that day in 12th position, was it?
Yeah, we started in 6th, and with that time on the side of the track, certainly put us down the field, down to 12th.
Yep. Correct, and about 54th outright.
Yeah, 12th
so
in class.
What was the mood like when you actually got back into camp? Like, obviously, long days, cold, hot, emotions
well, the
days, up and down.
Actually, the day's not that long. Like, when we finished the race, we're talking 10:30 in the morning.
It's almost longer to wait for the crew than it is to do the race.
Yeah.
So from 10:30 in the morning through to 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we're actually sitting there waiting for our crew to get there.
You probably should give a bit of a shout out to the crew as well. So
yeah, Levi and Mikey.
Yeah.
Yeah, good lads.
And Sammy for Fink.
Oh yeah, and Sammy.
Yep.
Sorry, Sammy.
We have a crew member for Fink.
So that's when we get down to Fink, actually. And when you get down to Fink, you certainly know you're getting closer because you drop into the Fink Creek and there's a couple of little jumps there. There's a little tabletop and whatnot. But right at the end is what it's not on the finish line, but it's the Fink tabletop or the finish jump, I should say. And last year, Ryder sent it, like absolutely sent it, and we got some fucking sick air on it. And she sort of come down at a bit of an angle, and I'm like, I just reminded him this one. I'm like, this is a jump. Remember, we sent it. And
when I look at the footage that obviously was on YouTube, the live streaming, we still got some decent.
Correct. That's where I'm going with this. I'm like,
it's not bigger than last year.
It felt like we slowed down.
Yeah.
But the fucking air that we got, we still went up. We still got a bit of airtime. Like, I was like, fuck yeah. Jeez, I'm glad. I don't know. Just. It was good. But there was also a little creek crossing called Alice Creek, and this is about 100 kilometres south of Alice Springs. And it's and when I say creek, it's kind of like a fucking, what do you call it? It's just like a drop-off.
Just a big wash.
It's just a big washout.
Just a big wall, really, isn't it?
Well, there's a wall like before it. And on my notes, it's like, yep, here comes a creek, and I call it and whatnot. And what happened there, mate?
I don't know. You tell me. I'm a navvy. I just do as I'm told.
I can feel the tension. You know how
astronauts have got to train for zero gravity?
Yep.
Well, I felt that for a bit.
We had a bit of that going on.
I was like, "Wow, fuck, we're up here."
We've got air time.
Yeah, the car got airborne, and I was like, well, "Yep, we've come to this site." And I think as soon as we landed, and there was a little bit of a clack and a bang, but not too bad.
There was some actual silence for a little bit there.
Yeah,
and the foot came off the pedal and everything went quiet, like zero gravity.
Ryder's words were, geez, the spectators are going to love that one.
But that wouldn't have been the first time that this bloke has actually put you in the shit, yeah?
Oh, no.
Like, yeah, has been a navvy, like, yeah, he must be sort of. And I know Steve too, like, when we go for a bit of a drive or ride, he's having a fucking fair good look around, eh? Yeah. Like, he'd be sticky beaking at this or fucking seeing a rabbit or a squirrel or a
fucking lemon tree.
Lemon tree.
He's not often quiet in the car, but that's good because it keeps my mind on the job. Like,
correct.
The last thing you want is silence in the car.
Yeah.
So
what are you talking about? Like, it's 250 Ks there, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, it's 235 Ks.
So you're flat out there. So when the silence is there, like you've got a big long straight, what are you talking about?
So when it's a big long straight, the track on a GPS may look straight, like, you know, a straight line, but the track still deviates a little bit to the left and a little bit to the right, and you can't actually see the severity of that corner, all right? So I'm painting a picture about it's open, like, you know. Imagine looking down a road and you can see big trees and whatnot, you know, and the track just disappears to the left. As you're traveling 150 kilometers an hour, you don't know. All right, should I?
Often in the dust as well.
In the dust, you can't see it, so you want to back off a little bit and be cautious. Well, in a race, you don't want to do that. No. So you're painting a picture about what's around that corner, about what's up in 100 meters, 200 meters, 400, a kilometer. Yeah. So you're forever, and because that's. All right, that corner's now gone. We've got the next corner. And then the next corner. It's just a complete cycle of.
So you're not talking about what you're going to do next week or bloody, for dinner, mate.
No, I'm painting a picture like of what's this next corner look like. Yep. The entry, and if it's a tight corner, the shape of it or the size of it, we use a few key words. So
it's one of those holy fuck.
normally not time to say that. But there's a few key words that we use. We won't go too much into that. But just describing what's coming up so that Ryder has the confidence of going as fast and as hard as he possibly can with what his information he's been given. Yeah. So, yeah, he's got the visual, but also he's getting an audio into his ears of what that corner looks like. And is it getting tighter on the exit, or is it an open, or is it a straightaway, or we got deep whoops, or we got a creek, or we got what's coming up next?
Yeah. Yeah. And even if we do have something that's, you know, straight for a substantial amount of time, Steve will continue to remind me that it's straight and open.
Yep.
Like literally, yeah, there's no silence. He's literally talking the whole time and continually, you know, giving me data.
Yeah. So even Rainbow, it's there. You can see it's straight and open. Like it's 3 kilometres of a dirt track. You're going, you can see it. You can all, but you, for some reason, I just keep talking.
And the holes in Rainbow, I actually watch Rainbow start to stop on the bloody, on the live stream, and that was good footage.
Yeah.
Like you really did see it, and you're sort of looking at the interviews in the afternoon and everyone just coming back going, that was tough.
It was good. Yeah. Yep.
And same with the Fink this time. They said, that was tough.
Yep. Oh, yeah. So we got down to Fink on day one, finished it. 12 had to wait around a bit to get the boys there, but it's a long day for them because they have to travel from Alice Springs down the highway, and it's a six-hour drive. For them, we did it down in the race car on day one, 2 hours and 21 minutes.
Yeah,
they've got a 6 hour drive, you know. So we do a straight line, boom, we're there. They've got to deviate right around.
Yeah, and they obviously can't leave until you leave on the race or
no,
they leave early.
Yeah, they left 2 hours before us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is why we have to drop the car off so early so that they can hit the road and get the jump on us. Otherwise, yeah, it would be.
Yep.
The idea is get down as early as possible to minimize or to maximize the time to prep the car.
Yeah.
Especially if you've got damage, which Fink is renowned for.
Yep.
And this year, so any damage on the way down, like the first leg?
Other than the belt, no, the car held up. The belt and then the lost belt cover.
Mm.
And a sway bar bolt.
Oh yeah,
like a sway bar fitting.
Yep.
The rest of it was, you know, a thorough bolt check. We bled the brakes.
Yep.
Change the oils. Change the diff oil. New air filter. Just all the standard service stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
Nice. So, but the car was in really good shape. Far better than the last 2 years.
Correct. Yep.
Yep. Which is there's a reason for that. You know, as we've learnt from a couple of seasons of racing and. We've learned what to strengthen and what to modify, and you know we're
yeah.
There's no textbook for this sort of stuff. It really is a suck it and see.
Yeah, and every track is different.
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. So that was day one. So day two, we start off, of course, down at Fink and headed
home.
What
time are you getting up? Like, paint a picture for the listeners.
4:30 or 5:00.
It's very early. It's very cold. It's very dark.
I think fourth.
Not like that. It's cold. It's early. So who's cooking brekkie?
So we actually don't race on any food. So we might have a muesli bar.
Nothing.
No.
Nothing.
No. It's.
I couldn't do that.
No. It's more about for me. It's if I drink too much, especially the night before, or too many cans. I just can't get it out of me, and then I'm busting for piss in the car.
Yeah. It's pretty hard on your bladder and your guts, the car. Yep. Like 220K whoops is, you don't want too much in there.
Yep.
You're hungry when you get to either end,
yep.
Which is what we normally pack, a little a bread roll, a couple of muesli bars,
yep.
A couple of Gatorades, and we jam
just in case the boys are a bit late when you sort of come in.
Yep.
Well, not only that, if we have a breakdown and we're stuck somewhere.
True.
So thankfully we haven't had to deal with that yet, but if we broke down anywhere along that track, we not only have to wait for the guys to get to Fink, then we need to try and make contact with them, and then they need to wait till the race is finished, come up the service road and get us. So it can be a very, very long day.
100%.
So next year the aim is to take a couple more vehicles out there and send a chase car, they call it, down the service road with a trailer.
Yep.
So that, one, we've got tools and spares down there a bit quicker. But two, if we were unfortunate enough to have an issue, we've got a team on the inland and on the highway.
Well, if you need a volunteer, I'll be happy to come along. I actually, next year or the year after, I reckon probably the 50 years of Fink.
Yeah, that'll be a big one.
Definitely like to be there for that.
Yeah.
But yeah. Mm-hmm.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Also like to ride the bike out there as well, so.
Yeah. Yeah,
that'd be a bit of an adventure alone, but yeah.
100%.
Yeah, and day two, how'd you go?
Yeah, so we get up, as I was saying, we're up pretty early. It's very cold. We geared up. We're up the top for sign-on, up at the start-finish line for sign-on by about, what was it, 6 o'clock or 5:45?
Yeah, 5:45.
Which in the desert, it's dark. It's cold.
It's cold.
So we're up there. We do sign-on. The crew's really good as far as they're packing the tents up and getting the bedding packed down, and they hit the road and hit the service road. Well, not the service road, but the exit road out to the highway. And we go through the sign-on process, a quick driver's briefing, and then usually by 6:30 or 7 or something like that, the first car's away.
Yep.
And then we're in order. I think the first 10 or 20 cars are as per their finishing time. So yep. If the first car was a minute quicker than the second car, he's got a minute gap.
Yep.
And I think that might be just the top 10 that do that.
Mm.
And then it goes to like minute gap and then 30 second gap. So
yep.
We got in position. We stayed out of the car and watched the first few cars leave, and then we got into, obviously got geared up and got in the car and got into position on the starting grid, and we were off about 54th. Yeah, and we had a pretty solid run home. So, the car might have had a little bit more in it, but I was definitely more aggressive than I was the day before. And I guess the mindset was we've already had our issue.
Yeah,
let's race it back. What's the worst that can happen? We have another issue, and it is.
Yep. And that's going to give you more data on like how hard you can push this car.
100%.
So you were 12th on day one. Tell the listeners where you were at the end of day two.
So well. To back it down a little bit, the first 100 kilometres coming back home to Alice Springs, each car in front of us left a minute ahead of us. So within that first 100 kilometres, we'd already caught, I think, about 4, maybe 5 cars at that point.
Yeah.
So even a car that left 5 minutes before us, we by 100 kilometres, a third of the way through the race, nearly halfway through the race, we'd already caught up to that cool. car.
Yeah.
So JR was driving the fucking wheels off it.
Yeah, we had good pace, and that's evident by the fact that we were catching cars, catching dust, and then you if you catch dust, you're inevitably going to catch a car.
As soon as I saw the first car, I remember me saying, "Catch this fuckwit!" Yeah. of course, the probably bloke's a nice bloke, but it's just I'm just putting fire in his belly. Fucking, there's someone you can because it was a wet race. And when I say wet race, there was moisture in the ground. There wasn't a lot of dust until you were close enough to pretty much see him.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's a bit of dust. And I was like, oh, there he is. Fuck. Gonna get him, put a bit more fire in the belly.
Yeah, so if it wasn't a wet year, that it'd be a lot harder to sort of overtake him.
Well, at the same time, when it's a dusty race, there's just continual dust in the air.
Yeah.
And you don't see him until you're right on him again. Yeah.
And sometimes you cop dust off the service road. So there'll be people transiting along the service road, like crews and teams. And depending on which way the wind's blowing, you can be dusted out by a person that's not in the race.
Yeah.
Which is frustrating.
Yeah.
As a driver, that's pretty frustrating.
Yeah, that would be.
Especially when you get a glimpse of dust, and I'm sort of well known for once I see a little bit of dust the little ears come out and
he's got something to chase.
Yeah. I'm definitely a chaser.
Yeah.
And then it's quite frustrating as a driver to find some dust and then like, right, let's reel this in. And then 5 kilometres later, you see a trailer and a 100 series or 200 series cruiser belting along 120 and you're like, oh, there's the dust.
Yeah. But so, it also picked you up as well, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You're a hunter.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so we definitely mowed a few cars down. We had a pretty trouble-free run for the majority. We did find our little creek again.
We did. Reverse. Yep. And I think I said it a few times.
Yeah, you made it very, very, creek very coming. Clear. And I slowed down a lot.
You did. You actually still, did slow down.
I still didn't slow down enough.
Yeah. It is a nasty little – it's kind of like a drop-off. And before the drop-off is, you know, when they pile up dirt on the side of the road, like they rule off dirt? It's kind of like you go up a thing before you go down a thing. It's not like just flattening down. Mm. It's like you hit this wall of fucking shit and then
it's
you're
got
in.
A bit of a kicker.
Yeah. So we did hit it again.
Yeah, we hit that pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. And that might have been breaking the camel's back on the next probably point you're going to talk about? Maybe the front diff?
The front diff. Well, it
just
certainly
the
didn't,
stresses?
It certainly didn't. It certainly had a few clunks and groans at that stage.
Mm.
And then, probably for with about 100 to go, the diff certainly started, well, the front end started to make some noises that were unfavourable.
Yeah.
We didn't realise at the time it was the diff. In fact, it wasn't until we got out of the car at Alice, both Steve and I thought it was the drive shafts.
Like the CV shafts,
very similar to what happened at race last year at Don River, where the front CV shaft had snapped, was bashing around inside the front of the chassis, and then when the car's got airborne, it's come out and come under the chassis and jammed up, and it actually DNF'd us at Don River.
Yep.
So I 100% thought that's what we had.
Mm,
I thought
so
we had
I.
a broken axle.
We actually didn't talk about it.
No.
We just acknowledged that we have a problem.
Yeah. Yep.
And then we have a problem.
Yeah, yeah. I said to Steve, there's something going on the front end, and he's like, yep, copy. And that was it. And then a few big knocks, and there were some big knocks, like someone bashing under the car with a hammer.
So at this point, Steve, are you actually going, okay, we've actually got a fucking, and you're trying to keep him calm?
Are you just trying
to keep yourself calm?
Both, because sometimes I would go silent because I'm thinking about, like, I'm trying to call the race, right, as in my notes and stuff. But then my left hand, my brain's thinking, okay, this CV shaft's just rattling around the front end. It's about to dig into the ground and rip a wheel off and then possibly even come in through the footwell. And, oh, I've got all this going in my head, like, worst-case scenario. Yeah. Left-hand brain's going, worst-case scenario. Yeah. Right-hand brain's trying to still concentrate on what I'm there to do. Yeah. And so... But yeah, it's kind of this thing. If we know there's a problem, there's no point talking about the problem because there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, we're trying not to get too excited about. I think we've done a few race meets now, and we've had all sorts of gremlins that come with racing.
Yeah,
we don't get too excited about it. We address it, we acknowledge it, and we try and move past.
Focus on what we still got to do. And at this point, we were still 80 kilometers out of Alice Springs.
Like when the diff actually, yeah, that's right. When the diff. We got some bangs and crackles, like quite a few before the diff actually went.
Correct.
Well, like I said at the time, we didn't know it was a diff, but before it got really serious and started to grind like a coal train, like it was like a derail train. It was
terrible.
And then I got it into two wheel drive, and then the noise sort of disappeared a bit. And obviously that's because the gears weren't churning and not being driven by the drive shaft, but. Yeah, it's funny that Steve said the same thing after about the CV shafts and the fact of coming through the floor, because there was quite a few straights there where my foot was flat on the accelerator, but my left foot, which would normally be right on the brake, was tucked up behind my knee.
Yeah,
because I'm waiting for the thing to come through the floor. So I'm same left brain and right brain. My right brain's got the foot planted, and my left brain's got the other foot up out of the way, ready for an explosion.
We're going to see a checkered flag or Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to see one or the other.
And that was kind of like what we had to just, you know, we're here to race. We're racing, and we're not stopping unless the fucking wheels fall off this thing.
Yeah. The only way it was stopping is if there was no option.
Yeah. You're racing the clock too, so it's like we've still got 80 kilometres, 60 kilometres, 50. You know, every 10 kilometres is a bonnet, and you just look at it, and it's like, and I look at it and go, right, 50 to go, and then 40 to go, and then 30 to go. You know, like you're just counting that down. And
I can actually see your smile starting to...
Yeah, yeah.
You can see yourself lift.
At about 100%. 60, the last fuel stop or the first stop going down or the last fuel stop coming back for the bike riders, it's 60 Ks out of Alice. It's when the landscape's starting to change again. You come up over a ridge and you can see Alice in the distance. Like, it's way the hell up, but you're like, fuck, you're on the home straight.
So your spirits are starting to lift.
Yeah, but the noises were getting louder.
They always do.
They're just getting louder, you know, and it just felt like it was a long way away. You know? Yeah. So we just kept punching along. So,
were saying fuel stops for the bike, so it's only the bikes that need to stop for fuel?
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
In saying that, we've had a little bit of you've touched base a little bit about fuel, so...
Yeah, so on day one, we finished the race. Now, I think we would have had two bars left, which is probably close to, I'm going to say 7 to 8 litres, maybe even a bit more.
Yeah, probably a bit more.
Yeah, maybe even
how
close
accurate
to
is this gauge? Is it actually a float gauge or is it a
it's a digital a gauge? Yeah, it's a digital so gauge. So proper, we get a good idea on what we've got. Yeah. That was me.
Our professional.
Yeah, so good. And like at 15K to go.
Yeah. So we've done it. We've done diffs and drive shafts in previous years, and had to come back. It was a drive shaft, but it was the central drive shaft that we did last year, and we did it only 80K out of Fink. So we came back 150-odd K last year in two-wheel drive, and with 10K to go, the fuel light came on. So
15K to go.
No, the previous year.
Oh,
The previous year, the fuel light came on, and we got it home, and it was a bit of a wake-up call of because I have seen cars like McNiven's car maybe 2 years prior ran out on the last corner, and they had to they got out and pushed it across the line, literally out of fuel.
Oh.
So at 15K to go, when I saw that fuel light come on, it sort of come on. Well, it beeped, actually. That's what caught my eye. I heard the beep in the in the electronics of the car, and I glanced over and I saw the fuel light on, and I said to Steve, I said, fuel light's on. And he goes, yep. Again, not get too excited, but acknowledge that it's there.
Yep.
And I'm like, have you pumped everything? Yep, I'm pumping. I'll double check, we'll pump again, and then that's it. We didn't talk about it again.
Yeah.
So we pushed it into the back gate and then through the stadium, and we got it home. It was pretty taily in the stadium, especially being in two-wheel drive. They don't turn very well in two-wheel drive.
And I can remember a little backfire on one of the big berms.
Yeah, yep, it did. Yep. So we did get it home, but little to our knowledge at that time. After we went through the waiting time in the Parc Fermé and what have you, and we moved the car out, we only drove it out and drove it down the length of the finish straight and into the pits, and it was out of fuel. It literally ran out of fuel in the middle of the pits.
Yep.
So what do you do next year to sort of combat that?
We're going to need a third sub tank.
We're going to need more fuel
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
There's no limit to the amount of fuel you can take. Obviously,
no. There's safety reasons around fuel and fuel supply and fuel storage, like in the car.
But as much as you want, as long as it complies to the regulations.
Yeah.
So you don't need much more. You just need a whisker.
Yeah. Well, we need a little bit more because we went down in 2:21, and we had nearly 10 liters left, 7 or 8 liters left, right?
Yeah.
Because of the blown belt, we weren't up to speed. We weren't doing 100% throttle at a longer duration. Day two, we were upper. And I remember going through some whoops at some stage, and I think I made a comment a couple of times, like, we're going through these whoops, and I'm calling the speed as well. Like, at one stage, where the whoops are fairly decent. Not the big fuckers where they're just punching the car around. But
the ones in I've pre-run it in a road car, which I'm not sure that you have in a road car, have you?
No.
I've pre-run it in a road car. Once I did a little bit in my Chevy, and then in the last year in a hire car. And those whoops are something you do about 20 kilometres an hour in a road going four-wheel drive. Like, they're ordinary. So
20 kilometres an hour you do in a normal car.
Yeah.
Like, we're hitting them at 85, 80, 85, and sometimes faster. And there were sections there where the car was just sitting perfect in these whoops, and JR's driving it, like, just amazing. And I'm just, I can clearly remember seeing it and feeling, I'm like, fucking, we are just flying, and the car is sitting great. You know, just the attitude of the car was amazing at some of these points. And I look over and I'm like, fucking 85, 85K an hour in this Can-Am, and these are decent sized whoops. It's like, man, you're on fire.
Yeah, there were lots of sections that were more 120, 130 in some.
Oh, in the smaller whoops?
In the smaller whoops.
Yeah. But I'm talking about the deeper stuff where it's like, fucking hell.
So what was your time back? So it was 2:21 there.
Yep.
What was your time back?
Yeah, 2:09.
2:09, yeah.
So
that's a lot of difference.
It
obviously
is.
Obviously with the broken belt and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? If we could fuel up, put up a new front diff in it, fuel up and actually hit that track either the next day or that afternoon, we would go even faster.
Yeah, 100%.
Yep. It's certainly something that we're looking at options for next year that – We need to we need more fuel. Yep, definitely. And we know we've got so much more speed up our sleeves. Yep. There's so much more on that we've left out on the track.
Yep.
So it's endless, really.
I don't know about you blokes, but I actually need to go do a little a wee stop. So,
well, let's do that. Yeah, how'd you go, Barney? Drain the brain.
Pissed excellent.
Yeah, good. So, mate, that's where were we up to? I think we were up to run out of fuel.
Yeah, well, so we obviously got the car back and then moved it into the pit area in preparation to work out what to do next, because something we haven't touched on is that
exactly.
when we got back to Fink, where we would normally be.
So we finished our race.
Yes.
And, you know, this is my sixth time out in the desert, and every time you finish a race, that's when the party starts, when you start going, fuck yeah, I'm going to smash some beers. But not this year.
No, we got back and climbed out of the car and pulled the phone out of the pocket to, you know, let the loved ones know that we're alive and we've survived and made it back to Alice.
Yep.
Only to see a text message from the crew saying, "Give me a call when you get a minute."
not the call you want to hear.
No, not the text message you want to be receiving.
So I said to Steve, I said, "Got this message from the crew. That doesn't sound great." So anyway, so quickly called the wife and just let her know we were okay, and then the next call was obviously to Mike, one of our our crew chief, so to speak, and the boys had left that early that morning, so they did hang around for a little bit to watch us come through.
They did, yeah.
So I didn't spot them this year.
But I did. I had the siren on.
Yeah, I mean, I knew where they were because Steve was signaling and had the siren on, but I missed them this year, unfortunately. They were obviously respecting the 30-meter rule.
Well, and also, you were fucking...
I had a bit on.
You had a bit going on. That fucking right foot was planted.
Yeah. So, I did hear a lot about that 30-meter rule, actually. So yeah. They actually did pump a lot of that in to the... Like, obviously, watch it on YouTube, but it was constantly coming over that...
Yeah.
Do this. Do the right thing. Otherwise, we don't have a race.
Correct.
So, yeah. And yeah, you would piss a lot of people off. Mm-hmm.
They hung around and waved us through, which was great, and then they packed up and hit the road, or they'd probably packed up at that stage and they were hitting the road after seeing us come through. But they only got about 20 kilometres out of town, and Mike had glanced in the mirror there and noticed in the dust some tyre smoke. So he's pulled over to inspect what the scene was, and found that the corrugated road into Fink, which is about 140 kilometres of terrible corrugation.
Mm.
The trip in and then the return trip out, what they'd done had been enough to damage some of the axles, or two of the axles.
Yep.
Which were causing the tyres to rub on the chassis, and that basically drew them to a dead halt.
Yeah, so it's a triple axle trailer.
Yeah, fully enclosed triple axle trailer, which we've been building over the last 12 months. It's not exactly designed for off-road. It's really a bit of a bitumen warrior. This is the only event where we have to take it down a road that's so extreme.
Yep.
Mm.
Which we'll rethink that next time. We'll keep it on the blacktop moving forward. So he'd made some inquiries to, you know, try and get some sort of tow truck or recovery. We are literally in the middle of Australia, keep in mind.
Yep.
And we're also dealing with a public holiday in the Northern Territory.
So there's a sign where they were stuck. There was a sign saying geographical centre of Australia was 20 kilometres away.
Yeah, that's right.
So you're talking, you're in the middle of Australia.
Literally.
Yeah. You could throw a dart and hit it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yep.
Or not hit it.
So, yeah, this is a Monday and it's the Queen's, well, King's public holiday in NT.
Mm-hmm.
Public holiday, it's now 9:30. We finished the race around 10:30, so it's about 11 o'clock. We're starting to make phone calls. And, yeah, it's a public holiday.
Yeah.
And you've got the boys stuck 6 hours away.
Thankfully, we'd set the vehicle and the trailer up with Starlink. So we we had two Starlinks on board. So not that you need two, but that was just what we ended up with. Thankfully, because that, you know, they had no phone reception where they are. They're literally in the middle of nowhere, and without that Starlink, they would just be reliant on passers-by to spread the word. Mm. So, thankfully, Mike was able to fire the Starlink up, get through to me, even put me on FaceTime, and, you know, show me the dramas and show I get a good understanding of what we're dealing with. So then, yeah, he'd made a few inquiries and had a couple of people that were going to get back to him, which hadn't at that stage. So I got on the blower and did the same. The day, 2 days before, we were actually chasing some CV boot clamps. We were doing some service work on the car, and we noticed some grease leaking, and we needed to service the CV boot. So I went into town, and the place where I thought I might find them was shut. I drove around a few other places, all shut. You know, it's 12 o'clock on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Long weekend. I thought, okay, we're in trouble here. So I went back to the original place where I thought I'd get them, because I noticed the side gate was open, and I walked through that side gate up to the back door, and thankfully they were really helpful and able to help me and got what I needed. When I was walking out that, as fate would have it, when I was walking out that Saturday, I looked at this big tilt tray, and I saw on the side of a 24-hour recovery service. And not thinking for 1 minute we would be needing that, but obviously I just took a mental picture of that.
Subliminally.
And as soon as Mike said we're going to need a big tow truck, because it's a big trailer, it's not something you're putting on the back of a small tilt tray. Immediately I thought, you know what, I know where one is. Yeah. So quick Google, rang the after hours number. The lady that helped me out the day or 2 days prior actually answered the phone. I could tell by the sound of her voice. And we were on. We had someone that was willing and able to come help us. So.
Wow, that's great, isn't it?
Yeah, so they were out on a recovery at that stage, and so we did have to wait for them to return. And then once he got back, she rang me again, confirmed some details, and then fueled the truck up and headed off to rescue the boys. So they were there from probably about 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning,
maybe earlier,
until about just before 5. So literally stuck in the middle of nowhere.
That's just when the tow truck turned up
at
5 o'clock in the afternoon.
So the tow truck had to go 400 odd kilometres south to retrieve them.
Wow. That's the heartbreak and the joys and the... So you've finished the race, you get this text message, you're on a high because you've finished it, and you get this message.
Yep, we're fucked.
Yeah. So, I mean...
What do you do, like, from there? Like do you just... Do you go and party anyway because there's nothing you can do? Obviously, Justin's making all the phone calls and all the... What do you do, Stiffy? What's the the go-to?
We talked it through. We got the tow truck organised pretty quickly with the old love that you're speaking to. And then we actually had... So, because we were waiting in the pits, we needed to get the buggy. Obviously, we finished our race. We need to get the buggy back to the showgrounds where we were... camped for the week.
Yeah, we're at the HQ and we've got the buggy. At that stage, we didn't know we were out of fuel. So shortly after that, we've got the buggy that's out of fuel, and we've got our race suits and our helmets and a garbage bag with two jumpers that we had on early in the morning because it was obviously very cold. Yeah. And that's all we had, and luckily mobile phones. So because I often don't take mine in the car, but I've started to on those bigger events.
Yep.
As long as we've got one, that's all we need. But at the same time, if we're both trying to do some Googling or make arrangements, it was certainly handy. So So once they rolled us out of there and the car ran out of fuel, that sort of created the next issue of we're like, how are we going to get back? And I'm like, oh, fuck, I'll drive it. I don't give a fuck. At this stage, I'll just drive it back. So down the highway, I was willing to drive it and take the
risk. How far?
How far 10 kilometres or so. K's, but we're talking on National Highway.
It's a nana.
It's a big nana. But at that stage, I'm like, oh, I'll just drive it.
Yeah.
That went out the window really quickly when it ran out of fuel. So I'd forgotten about the fuel light completely before that.
Yeah,
So here we are, literally, I drove it around, it's out of fuel. I rang Steve and I said, Steve had already started the rounds in the pits to see if anyone had, like there's a thousand four-wheel drives and trailers there, but they all have a car that belongs on that trailer.
Yeah. Mm.
So whilst there appears to be all this ability for people to help.
Yep.
They're all there to do their thing and they got their own teams and they got, things.
They got a bit going on.
Yeah, they got stuff going on too. So we hit a few brick walls with people that, thought they might be able.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
They help us, but then they got to do this, they got to drop that back, and it was all getting a bit hard. But Steve managed to stumble across a guy that had a tilt tray, and he was able to help us. He went and offloaded the car. Did he have his race car on at the time?
Yeah, he was loading up. He had a Queenslander State of Origin jersey on too, and I'm like, oh yeah, this lad looks all right. We'll G him up. And I approached him, and he's like, yeah, I'll just drop this one home, and I'll come back and get you.
Yeah, so it turns out he was a local and a local business owner who just happened. It wasn't a tow truck company; he just has a tilt tray because I think he's got one of everything. To be honest, he's that type of guy. Yeah. He's been in business in Alice for 30 years, and I think he said he owned 3 or 4 businesses. And he happened to have a tilt tray and was willing and able to help, which was really, really good. So
yeah, he actually told us that he normally opens up his yard that he's got to Queenslanders on with bikes and things like that. So it was. He started telling me this, and I'm like, oh, well, this might be a good option. Mm. Because you don't want to think of worst case scenario, but it's just like, right, let's just get the car somewhere first. Because we knew that the tow truck was gone at that stage to go pick the boys up. But we still had a lot of things going on about, okay, where are we going to be? What's going to happen? Let's just wait and see this guy come back with a tow truck and we'll put the car on. So
at that stage, we didn't even know where we were taking the car, but we were just happy to get it on a truck.
Yeah. And not drive down a national highway.
Yeah, so I actually told the guy, we'll be at the front fence. Like I said, yeah, we'll come out to the front gate here. We'll just be here. And,
then the thing ran out of fuel.
So we couldn't even get the car to there. So I had to go out and sort of wave him down and say, hey, we're in here. We ran out of fuel.
Yeah. So he came in and loaded us up, and then we're like, oh, if you could take us back to the showgrounds, that'd be really, really helpful. And he's like, well, I got a yard and this and that, and it's just near the showgrounds. And we're like, you know what? What do we got to lose? So we went back to his yard, and he opened a big electric gate and rolled in between these big industrial looking sheds. And yeah, it turns out that he was obviously a racer himself.
Yep.
And he'd previously run multiple businesses from that property, so it was very well equipped with, sheds and carports and pressure washers and forklifts and you name it, the guy had it there. Yep. So we dropped the car off, and then he quickly sort of took off again to help someone else that was in distress with a flat tire.
Correct.
And he asked his brother, who had come up from Harvey Bay to Navi for him, to give us a lift into town. So we jumped in the cruiser and we were off into town, and luckily we'd already pre-arranged and some accommodation for that Monday night at the casino.
Yep.
So luckily we had somewhere to go at least. So we had no clothes or any luxuries, no toiletries or anything like that, but we were able to go check into our room and at least, have a shower and sit and think and regroup and work out a plan of attack from there. Yep. So, that was a blessing, really, because otherwise we would have been like a couple of homeless fellas in Alice wearing our race suits like the Stig.
Yeah.
I can see Steve sitting around Alice Springs in his fucking race suit with his
helmet.
So
as soon as we checked into the hotel there, we were checking in with our race suits on, and I'm carrying a duffel bag, like a garbage bag. We definitely looked like we were in the wrong spot,
Yeah.
But we got into rooms and... Then we pretty much then went and got some drinks.
Yeah, well, the boys were under control at that stage. That the tow truck was confirmed; it was on their way. They were just sitting waiting. So we thought, well, we're back. We've got a room. We've got a room for them to come back to.
Yeah, we're okay.
Because obviously all our bedding and everything, all our camping gear, everything we've got is in the trailer, which is now on a tilt tray.
Yeah.
So the boys had obviously de-hitched and they were heading back on the highway. Or at that stage they weren't quite heading back by then, but they would be heading back on the highway. So I found a little pool bar there and got a couple of frozen bloody daiquiris and a few takeaways, and we made ourselves comfortable.
We got very comfortable.
Yeah, we got comfortable and relaxed for the arvo while they were sort of chilling out waiting for the tow truck.
Yep.
And then the tow truck came and picked them up, and so once we knew they were safe and the trailer was unloaded and they were on their way. We then had some showers and sort of went downstairs and
because on Monday night is presentation night. Like, you've done the race, everything's over. You then go get your peg, your spike, and go watch.
Celebrate,
celebrate with everyone else. Everyone else is there too,
Yep. Yeah, it's a big deal.
It's a big deal. Yep. Everyone dresses up for it. They're all you know, they've all showered, they've all got their nice outfits on, they're ready to have a party.
And you're in wearing our race suits.
Yeah, so. we had showers.
Looking yep. the part. I hope you had the top half tied around your waist
absolutely.
Too, did you?
Yeah.
So that's a true race.
We've got a couple of photos of that. So
we'll put them up on the socials as well.
Yeah, so. We'll definitely have to because, you know.
Mate, the highs and lows are sort of they're so big and so, yeah, so deep.
Yeah, and you know what? This is a detailed sort of episode on our sort of dramas with it. But you hear of the stories that some people have as well. Like one bloke said that he had a truck towing a caravan. A truck that had a caravan on the back towing a four wheel drive, and then that four wheel drive had a snatch strap to a buggy maybe, or another vehicle, and it was just this.
Oh, that was a fellow competitor. That was Jake Williams with his trophy truck. So he's So he had dramas with the F-truck tow car and then dramas with the trailer. So they had like broken hubs or something wrong with the trailer. They had to unload the trophy truck and tow it with a snatchum strap behind, like tripled up, like a road train, and they towed that back on the National Highway.
Yeah, so that's stories though, isn't it? Like, you don't remember that shit, but you remember that one.
Yeah.
And you know what? The desert will bite you every year. It just depends on how big of a bite it takes. Yeah. Yep. And this year for us, it took a fucking massive bite. A little bit on the race buggy, but a huge one for the team in a way of, you know, getting us all back, you know, in into that atmosphere where we could, all right, we're finished the race, let's party, boys. This is what
but
it's about.
But it's not over now, though. So, Justin, what are you doing tomorrow?
Well, so this potty, we're a month on, right?
Yep.
We finished the Fink Desert race a month ago. We still haven't covered what.
No, so obviously the trailer's broken.
Yeah,
so it's in Alice Springs with the car.
At that stage of night, we went down, had some dinner, joined in the celebrations, and awaited the boys' arrival. Which you know they got there safely, which was great. About 11:30, they all had some quick showers and come downstairs, and you know we finally got to it was you know. Belated celebrations, but we finally got to have a few drinks and
yes, and I reflect fucking on had a lot of drinks,
a lot.
So that was all good fun. Pretty late night, followed by a pretty early morning for us to go and you know try and get this trailer one off the tilt tray and two, you know it's now Tuesday, non-public holiday. We're thinking, okay, we've got to get a local engineer to heat this axle up, straighten it out, weld it, brace it, you know, and get this thing going again to you know to start the journey home. Only to drive, you know, a few streets around and find the trailer on the back of the tilt tray still with the wheel missing. So it went on with six wheels. It came back with five. So all of a sudden our plans for welding, patching and reinforcing were completely thrown out the window.
So do we know where this missing wheel is?
No, we don't. No, it's gone.
Somewhere near the centre of Australia.
So you picked a fine time to leave me loose wheel sort of shit.
Yeah. Yeah, when we lose wheels, it's normally on the race car, not
not on the
I've not heard that story. That's so it's just gone.
Gone. Yep, well, so we've got...
Well, we kind of know where it went. We know it hit the ground and bounced under the truck, pushed his mudguard onto his tyres and shredded two of his drive tyres. So the poor bugger's come to recover us on his day off, driven 400k south. It was a mission to hook up for him because it's a big trailer and it's max width.
Yep.
So he had to chock it and it was a two-hour load.
And you've spent a lot of time on that trailer too.
Yeah, the trailer is a nice thing, yeah. So he was very careful with it and props to him. Like he didn't just skull drag it on there. Yep. He was there with the boys. And even if he wasn't with the boys, you know, he was that type of guy that was looking after it. But but it's come back. It's come back with the center wheel on the right-hand side not there. And the story of, oh, yeah, that fell off and did this and did that. And there's two shredded tyres in the back. So the poor bugger's at like 10 or 11 o'clock at night on the side of the highway somewhere changing two of his drive tyres on his truck.
I feel his pain.
So that wasn't ideal. So all of a sudden it went from patching it up and getting on the road to, oh, shit, what next? So
this is where it gets interesting. Strap in. Hold the fuck on.
So, you know, I'm hearing the story from the driver. He's relaying to me about what happened and this and that. And all of a sudden, I'm just seeing dollar signs in my head because not only has he done 850K round trip on a public holiday on this massive truck, I'm now thinking I'm up for mudguard and tyre and this and obviously my own wheel's missing. And So anyway, so we go inside and I sort the bill out, and it was, they were pretty good actually. They were really good. It was still a lot of money, but you know, it was reasonable for the scenario.
For the effort, yeah.
So the next thing is we've sorted the bill out. Now what do we do with it? So back on the phone to our friend Rick.
Yeah, shout out to Rick.
Yeah, Rick's a good guy.
Rick's a fucking legend. I've got a lot of time for Rick.
So yeah, back on the phone to Rick, and hey Rick, this, you know how we got our buggy around at your place? Any chance we could bring the trailer around? Yeah, bring it around. So around we go to Rick's, about 10 minutes drive down the road, and Rick's there to give us a handoff with it. And so then we proceed to obviously get the thing jacked up. The mindset at this stage is we can't get these things fixed locally. Like components are missing at this point, let alone wheels and hubs and brake drums. And so we've got to get this thing jacked up, get the three axles out of it, get them in the back of the ute, and get on the drive back to Brizzy. So that's what we proceeded to do. Rick got in his forklift and helped us prop this and prop that, and he had these big iron I-beams that he was able to put under the chassis. And so meanwhile, I'm doing all this at, you know, 8 o'clock the next morning from a 4 a.m. effort with a massive hangover.
Oh, yeah.
Well, not a massive hangover, but I was feeling it.
You were hurt.
I was feeling it. It was the last thing I felt like doing.
Yeah, well, shout out to you because you left me in the hotel room.
Yeah, you were still counting Z's.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't get up.
Steven.
So you know how he got out the car the day before?
Yep.
Well, this time he stayed on the lounge.
Fair call too. Like, yeah, I'll teach you to sit in the car.
Yeah. And I actually slept on the lounge because there was two big beds upstairs. So there's how many of us went? There's five of us, right?
Yeah.
There's five of us. So there's two in each bed.
Yeah.
And then
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Pushing them together or like...
No, they're big king size. It's like a...
Two big king beds.
Yeah, it's a two-story.
So four people can sleep upstairs and I just went, you know what? The boys had a hard night. I'll have the couch.
So Steve and Levi were due to fly out at about 1 o'clock. So the three of us, keeping in mind that the three of us that went in the truck were on the road crew on the drive home were going to get a patch up and hit the road.
Yep.
So it was only once we got there and we were able to relay back to the guys, hey, this is what's happened. And so there was nothing they could really do. You can only do so much. You only so many bodies to do what we need to do. So we got the trailer jacked up and propped and axles disconnected and loaded in the back of the Chevy, and we got away about 1 o'clock, I think, from Alice.
So JR left the race car and the trailer in Alice Springs.
I had no choice.
And had to drive away. Yep.
Yep.
3 days drive home.
My little baby left it out literally out, not even in the shed, literally in his yard.
And it's still there right now. We're four weeks out and JR's leaving tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning. So what time are you leaving, JR?
Well, I do have to wait a bit later in the day because my my co-driver that's coming with me has got something on. But we're going to get away tomorrow and probably get to probably just to Roma tomorrow.
Yep.
And then big day on Sunday, we'll try and get through to Camberwell. And then big day Monday from Camberwell into Alice.
Yep.
Then we've got a full day on Tuesday to get the trailer repaired. We've had three brand new axles manufactured. They've changed the design of them a little bit, beefed up some components, and they didn't muck around trying to patch up what we had. They literally, the guys down at Active Fab who built the axles originally, you know, they've come to the party and looked after you.
Yeah, so
built me three brand new axles.
Well, shout out to those guys, because they've obviously done you a big solid there.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yep. And there's certainly enough cost involved to recover, than let alone having to pay for three new axles. So
So
they've helped us out with that. And, we've got to spend Tuesday getting them back in the... It should just be a fairly straightforward bolt-in, hook some brakes up, get some wheels on. I've got a new wheel in the car now to take out there.
So that's another 7 day trip, really, out of your time, out of your busy schedule, 7 days to sort of recover this.
And 6,500 kilometres.
Yep. To bring everything home.
So this is racing.
Yeah, these are the joys. Yeah,
these are the joys.
So we thought, that, and the reason we've, there's a couple of reasons I've, you know, it's been a month since we were out there. I've had a couple of things on my daughter's birthday and a few other things with work and what have you, but we've sort of planned leaving tomorrow around. We're going to go out and recover the, going to go out and get the trailer sorted out and recovered, rather than just turning around and driving home with our tail between our legs. We're actually going to head from Alice south down through South Australia and down to Mildura. We're going to drop the guy who's coming with me for a road companion. We're going to drop him off at Mildura so that he can get back home. And then the boys are going to fly into Mildura next Thursday. And then we're going to drive about 4 hours north from Mildura. And we're going to do the next race at Hillston
in next New weekend.
South Wales.
Oh, nice.
So we're making it a round
Hillston
trip,
is
so.
A goer.
Yeah. I'm not going. I've got too much on.
Yep. So who's your navvy for Hillston?
So Levi's going to jump in the car for Hillston. Yep. So he's been in the car for a Don River before.
Yep.
Yeah, and he's getting the silly seat this time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, which is good. Definitely. So I just don't have enough time. Like, a bit going on.
Yeah, I met Levi at the Gundy 500.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, that was a good yarn, wasn't it? So I took Barney out.
There's fucking no mayo.
No. At all. So I took Barney. We took two cars out for this trip. You were in the black Chevy.
We took the caravan and the trailer.
Right. We took the caravan.
We didn't have the new trailer at that point.
Yeah. And we took your red car.
Yep.
And me and Barney went for a road trip, and then we did the whole race. And we actually got third place on that race.
We did, yeah.
That was my first podium.
That was a tough race too, by all sort of all comments. Everyone was saying it was, one of the toughest.
So you and Levi, like me and JR, we're out racing. We're doing our thing. Like, we got a bit going on in the car. How was your day that day, Barney?
Mate, it was actually pretty good. So we were watching a fair bit. So we had the Starlink as well. So we were watching a little bit, and we're watching it on the RallySafe app as well. So So we knew exactly what you guys were doing, and... And there was a buggy that pulled up because we were right on the staging lanes, and there was one that come back in. It said on the side, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. And we went, I looked at Levi, Levi looked at me and went, fuck it, why not? There's a fridge full of piss here. So we had one.
Yep.
And another one.
Yep.
And a few more after that anyway. So by the time fucking Ryder and bloody Stiffy turned back up, and Stiffy goes, oh, you still want to drive with her?
No. I said, Barney's fucking legless in the pits.
Wasn't quite legless, but yeah, probably shouldn't have been driving. So I said, so Stiffy's had a pretty big day and then driven home.
Yeah, that was good.
He was a little bit off me, but yeah.
Fuck him. So yeah, now Hillston's on next weekend. Looking forward to see how the boys go, but seriously, from right now, JR's got a mission. Like 3 days drive out to Alice Springs, get the shit sorted out.
Full day on the trailer. I got to prep the car. I got to put a diff in the car.
You got to put a diff in the car. Yeah.
And the head mechanic's not there, so Stiffy's he can swing a spell this late.
And then another 2 days drive to Hillston just to be in there and then meet the deadline of getting there in time to do reconnaissance and start that whole race weekend next
weekend.
You
have a few stories of deadlines in that too, don't you? Wasn't the last race a bit of a rush to get to the deadline?
Yeah, the first race of the year at Rainbow was a 23-hour drive through the night deal.
I forgot about that.
Which we kind of did on the way back from Fink as well to get home with the axles in the back of the car.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago, we pulled up on the we left Dallas about 1 o'clock. We got through to Camberwell late at night. We pulled up there, and then the next morning we basically drove from Camberwell straight through to home to Brisbane. So it was about 23 hours straight.
Yeah,
so very similar to Rainbow. So
yeah.
I've probably got one of those days coming up on Sunday, to be honest. Maybe not 23, but it'll be there will be two drivers, so we'll share it around a bit. But there's certainly some big days behind the wheel to go off-road racing.
Well, mate, good luck with that, and we will be sitting home. We should actually make a day of it and actually try to watch it.
When the boys are actually racing, I will be like, I have a little time in the world, but just the Thursday and the Friday and the Saturday, I've got a bit going on here with the business, and I can't be there, but definitely be watching. And
we'll make a bit of a date on that.
We might have to have some brewskis
and beer, and might even have a barbecue. Might smoke some meat or something like that. So
yeah,
and watch the boys.
That sounds like a bloody good plan, mate. Absolutely. Because that, no doubt that'll be live streamed as well, being part of the ARB series, the first round. Of course, Rainbow was live streamed. So, yeah, we've got the ability to sit back and enjoy the race.
I think you'll actually enjoy it because that Rainbow consumed my my whole day.
Yeah.
Like my whole day. Like, I sat there and said, I'll get up and I'll do a bit of this and do a bit of that. And just sat there and was glued. And especially with the Rally Safe app, because you could sort of see where you guys were. So, you could sort of, like, they'd sort of zoom in on a section of road and you go, oh, right, you boys are next, and so you can sort of see he's come along. And
Yeah,
it's actually a really good coverage, really good watch.
So. All that technology is getting better and better with off-road racing. Especially when you're talking the middle of Australia, like Alice Springs.
Well, Hilston's not that far away either. Like that's...
Yeah, it's still out there. Yeah, it's still out there. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So they're taking the technology to the racetracks. It's phenomenal.
There's quite a few cars this year, I think, with the Starlink fitted to the actual race car.
Mm.
And they're live streaming the in-car. So
yeah, we did actually cover a little bit of that on
episode. And I reckon JR's probably going to got the brain ticking and he's got the wheels cogging over. He's like...
There's a reason we have two Starlinks.
That's me next year. Yeah.
Well, it's not only good for, you know, keeping an eye on data and looking back on, because the great thing about the in-car is on the footage that I have watched from Fink is we can see one of the cameras is positioned behind in between our helmets and we can see the dash. So I can see, you know, I can see the rev counter, I can see the gauges, I can see the belt temps.
Yeah.
So in a non-hectic environment, when you're not in the race, you can sit back and you can actually look at the speed,
absorb
the clutch. Look at the terrain, and you can, you know, even if you do nothing with that data, there's still the ability there is there to use it, you know what I mean? So
absolutely, and it's a good watch. So I really enjoyed it. So
yeah, so if we can get some live streaming going on down the track, some, you know, friends and family can then, you know, be a part of it without having to deal with the travel. So
because
not everyone can get away, and not everyone can be at the track. You know, it's pretty remote places we go, so I'd say that's definitely on the cards.
Yeah, we run 5 GoPros on the camera. Mikey's the GoPro king.
Yeah,
We probably just need to. The only thing we need to sort out is power.
Yeah, so Mike's been onto that. He's got some little replaceable doors for the side of the GoPros that enable them to be hardwired.
Nice.
So yeah, he's all over that.
Because we get about an hour and a half sometimes out of the GoPro batteries, but if we hardwire them in, then they just stay on.
Yeah, the SD cards are good for, you know, multiple races, but the batteries is what let us down. So,
And if we hook it up to a bit of Elong, realistically, anyone can.
I might be able to phone in next time. Just go right out, fellas.
You can give us some advice.
So,
are you either going to see the checkered flag or Jesus?
That's what's going on with Ryder at the moment. I mean, that was Fink 2024. Obviously, we were just talking about this off air. I mean, preparation for any race, it just doesn't stop. Like already, we were talking about next year's race.
Yeah,
and it's 48 weeks away.
Yeah,
like it's 11 months away. You know, and it just continues.
I do have one question though. Like, what actually got you into the buggy racing? Obviously,
I think it was just a natural progression coming from bikes. So I did a fair bit of motocross as a younger fellow. Broke my ankle pretty severely when I was 19, which saw me get into some more, you know, to four-wheeled action. So I went go-karting after the broken ankle. I literally sold the bikes and got a go-kart with my leg still in plaster. And the day the plaster was cut off, I was literally at Day's Park at the Gold Coast at the kart track there on crutches and, like, passing the crutches to my girlfriend, like, in the cart, still with a bung ankle. I couldn't walk, but I was already karting. So so we did that for probably 4 or 5 years until my son was of age to start riding a bike himself. And then...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
We got Sammy on a bike, and then the next 10 or 12 years after that were all about him and his racing.
Yep.
And then when he turned senior and, you know, decided to, you know, had to get a job and a girlfriend and all that sort of stuff. And
as we do.
And, you know, get on with life. That was my opportunity to, you know, get some time back to myself. And having just been in motorsport from the get-go, the buggy was a natural progression.
Yeah. So with age comes the cage.
Yeah, absolutely.
As they say.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I still enjoy riding the bike, but not at a competitive level. You know, I'm a classified trail rider for sure these days. So, but as far as the off road scene goes, it's literally just like a bike, but you're in a seat and with a cage and a decent seat belt and you know, the injury, the thrill's there without the injuries.
Yeah.
No, I've definitely only been out with you guys once, and you all seem like you have a really great team, good atmosphere, and everyone seems to be enjoying themselves. So,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no, it's a great crew.
And obviously, we touched base a little bit about the car itself. Let's talk about the car. What is it from your words?
So, our car is a Can-Am X3, and it's a 900cc turbocharged Rotax engine, which is essentially like a jet ski engine, essentially.
Yep.
So there's kind of two or three main brands that would race in our class. K&M Polaris being the main ones. There's some Yamahas that dabble in the lower classes, and there's a Honda here or there that get around. So, but K&M and Polaris are definitely the leaders in that field. And it's a class. We race the Class 6 side by side pro. And it starts off as a production recreational type vehicle.
Yeah, let's touch a little bit before. So before you built this car, obviously you bought it in the mindset of building it to the, you know, to the state you're in now.
Yeah, it was always it was purchased to build into a race car. Correct.
Yeah, and the first time you drove it was before you obviously built it into a race car.
Yeah.
So. That was back many moons ago now.
Yeah, about 2018, I think it was.
When you first started.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. So we bought the car, we took it for a couple of drives, and then decided to pull it down and turn it into a race car.
Mm.
So that takes – we were right at the forefront of the sport sort of gaining momentum back then. So, you know, you can't just roll into a shop and buy these cars, unfortunately. You've got
So what is the process on if someone does want to, you know, get into the sport and buy a K&M X3?
Yep.
A brief overview. The thing about your build and the builds that you do is phenomenal. It is top shelf. Like, when you actually go to these events and look at cars, you can certainly see the quality in JR's builds. 100%, but just give us an overview of a build. What does that mean? What's that involve?
So what it involves is obviously the purchase of the car initially, and then we basically pull that completely apart and we reuse just the lower part of the chassis, which is the controlled chassis we have to use, and we use the engine and the drive line and, you know, the differentials and the drive shafts and gearbox. And apart from that, everything's pretty much aftermarket from there. So it's either needs to be custom made by specialized fabricators or bought in from the States, essentially. So the side-by-side's huge in the States, so there's lots of manufacturers. We can't run some of the stuff that they're allowed to run there, but the things we can run, we obviously try and bring in the right equipment, you know, the right arms and the right shocks and clutch setups, and we try and bring in the right gear to give us a strong, reliable build. And yeah, there's plenty of cars out there that have got all similar components, but there's just not much love when they're put together. So
the attention to detail.
The attention to detail, yeah. So I like, you know, I'm sort of a cabinet maker, shop fitter by trade, so I'm used to dealing with intricate detail and you know, and providing a top shelf result. So I don't take, you know, there's no
and that
difference
does show with the car.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, so it's
yeah, the finished, you know, JR's got the ability to look in the future. Like, this is what I want my car to look like, and then work back with the steps back of going, right, this is a vision I have, or this is what I want to get to, and be able to actually make that happen. Because when I look at some of the builds he does, especially the race car that he's just rebuilt, and just the some of the lines and some of the creativity-ness of the build is like, man, that's just phenomenal. Like, the streamline of the dash is phenomenal.
Yeah.
From the previous dash that you had in it.
Yeah.
To, I guess, and that was from just, okay, the way the car was set up for its first couple of years of racing.
Yep.
And then using it and going, well, if we're going to rebuild this car, we would change the dash.
Yeah, yeah. There's no textbook for this stuff. It's just, I like a lot of the things we've learned along the way. It's no different with the car build. So the second generation car that we've got now is it's all to do with what we've learned along the way.
Correct.
What works, yep. What doesn't work, what the creature comforts are, what's strong, what's not strong. What broke? What didn't break?
Like as a co-driver in Navi, there's two. What do you call them? Two shit handles. You know, so, something to grab onto.
Holy,
you know,
fuck,
holy
bars.
Fuck bars. Yeah. Two oh shit bars. Well, man, they got deleted because they just don't get used. So,
People do use them. You don't need to use them.
Yeah,
you don't tend to use them.
JR looks over at me and I'm just twiddling my thumbs in the.
The GoPro footage is really quite interesting, actually, and I'll have to show you, Barney.
Steve's,
whilst there's, you know, quite a few hand signals going on, when there's not hand signals going on, it's very relaxed and hand in lap. And
I can imagine Stiffy has a very relaxed sort of attitude. So,
And like, seriously, so like even down at Rainbow, there's a part there where you sit, like you're going flat out, right? There's a part, it's a straight line, and because you're actually on a road, and it comes to a T intersection. And I don't know if I've spoken about this in the potty yet, but it comes to a T intersection and the road continues, like the racetrack, I should say, continues straight ahead and it's through this dense bush or trees. And it's like an old goat track where old dairy farmer gets to check his fence line or something. Like he's got an old goat track down there. So you're flying down this road 150K an hour, 160K an hour, and the mindset of just disappearing into these trees are like, all right, fuck, we're about to enter this at 150K an hour. You do back off a little bit because there's a bit of a woo-woo before it, but I'm just casually sitting there in my own little bubble.
That would actually be a really hard job. Like, to sit in the passenger seat, I don't think I could do it. Like, it's sort of, I'm a bit of a control freak, so I'd have to have hold of something or going, holy fuck, or something. But, yeah, you're obviously...
I think for me, it's just because there's a lot going on in the car and a lot going on in my head. I don't know. Either I'm picturing driving it, or I'm just like, I'm very comfortable in the car. Yeah. You know, I trust Ryder like with my life. Yeah. So
obviously,
yeah, you've got to, and vice versa, because I'm telling, like, there's sometimes there where we are in a dust bowl, and I'm telling him the road is straight and open, and yet we can't see, we can't even see the front of the car.
Yeah,
and we're doing 120K an hour down a. And you might as well cover your eyeballs and try and still hold the trust of doing 120K, 130, 100, whatever it is, because I'm painting a picture in his head of what the road looks like. You know, so there's trust there.
Yeah,
yeah, 100%. And you're a better man than I am, because I don't know if I could sit in that seat.
Well, someone's got to sit
there. I'd actually like that for go, like just sit around somewhere and just sort of... just see what it's like.
Yeah.
Actually not in control and just...
Yeah. Well, the car, the thing about it is the car, the suspension in it, that it handles so much abuse.
Yeah.
And you really are, like, I feel... And, like, when I'm talking and then we hit something big, I'll be like, oh, fuck, you know, because you're trying to talk, so you... so you got that constant sort of in your voice. But it's comfortable. You're strapped in there. I enjoy it.
It's really hard. I enjoy taking passengers in the car, but it's really hard to, like, whenever I've taken, you know, anyone in the car other than Steve or Levi for that matter, it's really hard to replicate what we're going through on race day. It's nothing like it. Mm. Like, we can go to Steve's house and whiz around the paddock a bit.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, that's wild. It's sick. It's so far removed from what we're doing. It's not funny.
Yeah.
Correct.
Like, it really is. It's,
you can't duplicate the race.
No. You just got to get in there and have a go. But, it can be pretty hectic in the car, for sure.
So let's rewind a little bit. And where did you two guys, how long have you known each other for and where did you meet?
Mm.
So when I mentioned before about we did quite a bit of racing with Samuel, my son, motocross racing. So we met Steve back when he had the Jimbo motorcycle shop.
Yep.
And we were sponsored by a Northside Yamaha shop at the time. But we lived at Jimboomba, so obviously we would, you know, grab the local tube, a bit of air filter oil or tube or whatever. We'd do our main orders through our main contact. But you know, we'd go in the shop and got to know Steve and the crew there. So and that just progressed into the natural progression of you know, we eventually started to, you know, deal locally, and Steve was able to help Sammy out with some
Yeah, yeah, so we both had businesses. We both had businesses in Jim Boomba.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, that's where your business kicked off from as well.
Yeah, true.
And it was just around the corner, and yeah, and Sammy was riding bikes, and so yeah, we used to sell bikes and buy bikes, and is through the motorcycle industry. Like,
yeah, for sure. Yeah.
We're sitting here right now in a motorcycle shop, doing a potty,
and that's the same way I've met you guys too. Like, it was correct through Steve. Yeah. It was
through the bikes and the horse world, but. Yeah. Yeah, we met through the bike world, but that you got to turn the clock back.
Yeah,
2000 and
it's got to be 15 years or more.
Maybe more. I'm thinking 2008, 2009. So that's probably going to put us back to around that. Yep. So that's probably where it sort of kicked off. It's been a while. Yeah. And we go riding. I'm not going to say where we go riding, but we go riding on a certain sand facility. Occasionally, which is good, and we get into a bit of strife.
Similar to Fraser.
Not as far as Fraser.
It's quite a big sand pit, is it?
Yeah, it's a big sand pit. Yeah. Good rides.
World's largest or not?
Oh, well, Fraser is.
Yeah.
No, this one's...
Oh, you got another sand pit.
Yeah, there's another sand pit.
This one's more local.
Yeah. So, anyway. That's the bike world. So we've known each other for a long time, and we, you know... Yeah.
Common interests and, you know, similar personalities and... Yeah, we've become good friends and you know, really good teammates. So
I did the Fink back in 2015 was my first Fink, and I think that sort of sparked up a bit of interest with you as well. Like they were like, oh, that's on, because you rang me one day, and this is going back 2016 or 17. You're like, are you thinking what I'm thinking?
I think I sent you a photo of my buggy when I'd first bought it in 2017.
Yeah.
And then I literally, I said, are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Are you thinking? And I'm my ears back then, I'm just went, oh, God, fuck, yeah. Dude, when are we doing it?
The submerge in that.
Mm. Are you thinking what I'm thinking? Yeah. Fucking oath there is.
Yeah.
There's definitely some merch in that.
So. 100%. Yeah. Yeah, so that, you know, and that sparked him getting the car built.
It took a while to build that first car. Not only was it hard to find the right people and the knowledge, but I kind of got the car nearly ready for, I think, 2018, maybe 19, maybe 2019, I think. The car was nearly ready.
Mm.
I didn't quite make it, and then I literally pulled a blanket over it and focused on my house for 18 months. Did renovations and pool and shed and all that stuff. So the car was like needed a week's worth of work and it was ready to race, but it sat idle for nearly 2 years.
Yeah.
So, but got all the housework done, so to speak. You know, family's happy, everyone's set up. So then it was time to finish the race car, and then that's what's proceeded in the last sort of three seasons of racing.
Yeah.
So
definitely.
So, but then like I said, we built the car pretty early when the sport was evolving. So. It was the first generation of the car was definitely a leader, you know, in design and components and what have you, because I looked at a lot of stuff in the US and basically just created a whole, you know, Pinterest board of pictures and ideas and designs. And and together with a mate who's a fabricator, we built what was considered to be one of the best cars.
Oh, and 100%.
And still is.
Still is. Yep.
And then, now we've got the second generation of that, really, so.
Yep. I get a buzz out of it when we go to big events like a Fink and you're all lined up on the night of Friday night of scrutineering and all the buggies are in the same place and all the cars, all the side-by-sides, and you really get to see the detail that JR puts into his cars, and you get the compliments and the remarks from not only general public but the people that are in the industry. They are coming up going, holy fuck, look at this thing.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes they are like, just me, I'm just gobsmacked on trying to explain it, because until you see the design work that he's put into it, the fabrication work and behind the scenes and the vision that he has for the builds, it's next level. It is generations ahead of some of our competitors,
It's a lot of work that, you know, some people are not willing to put in the hours or you know, and it's a lot of cost as well, but like everything I do, I try and do as much as I can myself to, you know, not only do I like doing it, but I try and minimise the cost. You know, on this latest generation, I teamed up with another mate who's, you know, got some pretty handy equipment with laser cutters and that sort of stuff and folders and benders and sort of took my imagination and my skill sets from being, you know, in the timber industry, and it just goes hand in hand with, you know, with what he can do. So. Yeah. So together we've we built this new generation of car, and it certainly gets some reviews and a lot of compliments.
Yeah, nice.
So, So, and I tend to, and Fink's a good example of, you know, with the cars on display, I tend to just stand back a little bit and just let people look and touch and feel. But Steve almost inevitably gets his ear chewed off the whole night.
Yeah.
Everyone wanted to talk about the car, and
yeah,
I don't really like sort of fluffing anyone up about it. I just
The people that
I do enjoy them looking at it and a smile on their face, or you know, you see them looking at a detail and the. You know, you see little pennies drop in their head of what maybe they can do to their car or for their build. So I enjoy that.
So where's this leading to? So, like, what's your future goals with the car?
I mean, there's been multiple thoughts of, you know, the general progression in off-road seems to be start in side-by-side and, you know, work your way up to a bigger Class 10 car or a pro car or a trophy truck or... I don't think that's where we are going to head. I think we're pretty happy in the class we're in.
Yep.
What I have seen of the guys that have stepped up is, yeah, they've got a big V8 and, you know, they beat their chest about, you know, how big and loud their car is, and we often still go quicker than them. So for me, I kind of enjoy enjoy being the little car that beats the big cars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yep.
And there was quite a few of those trophy trucks that didn't finish.
Yeah,
and there was a couple of ones there that are worth quite a lot of money. Still didn't
absolutely,
finish,
It's not all about how much money you got. And we everyone's got a budget, and we try and not tip endless amounts of money into it. That's why I try and do as much as I can myself.
Yep.
But there is some serious money still being spent. I think we're going to stay. I can see us staying in the side by side class. There is a new Can-Am out that's, you know, inevitably going to be the longer term plan, but you know, a current generation of car is good for a couple of years.
And actually, so. I need to correct myself, because we've talked about this in other potties. We've talked about the X3 and then the Maverick. I've actually referred to JR's car as a Maverick because we talked off air.
It is a Maverick X3.
But the new style, the Maverick R.
New funny.
Yeah, yeah. So, in previous potties, I've kind of said, I think maybe I didn't say Maverick R, maybe I just said Maverick.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, there's no doubt that that's where we'll end up. But I'm not in huge rush. I've just finished a pretty comprehensive build. I've just finished 12 months of every night and every weekend on the race trailer.
I have definitely heard the, and I definitely want to
see. You've seen some photos, trailer. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
This race trailer sounds good.
Yeah. So whilst it's broken and mending at the moment, thankfully there's no actual damage. Like, there was a cracked axle, but it didn't lose the wheel and rip the side out of it. Or so we bolt these axles in, put the wheels back on, and we're good to go again. You know. So.
Well, mate, we can't wait to actually hear how you go at Hilston and actually the journey out there. So. Obviously, there'll be a few little tales and sort of to get there. To get to Hilston.
Correct.
Every race that I speak to Stephen about, it's not just about the race. It's
the adventure getting there.
It's the adventure getting there.
Correctly. It's the stories behind the scene.
Yeah, like 3 minutes before before you can get, before you clock in or.
Yep.
Love hearing it.
You know, every adventure, every race, everything that we do, there's always. Such, you know, good energy around it that's making memories, isn't it? Like you're going 100%. Away racing and you're doing this with your buddies and your mates and, you know, you're putting your effort into it and you're getting results out of it, but it's lifestyle, it's adventure and it's daily stories. It's the lads. It's getting the lads together and having this bucket of fun that we do when we go away racing that creates the atmosphere that when we're out racing with the four of us, the five of us, the six of us, whoever comes away racing with us, we're all having a great time.
Yeah, 100%.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So we're just talking a little bit about the cost of things. I reckon we need to give a bit of a shout out to, listen, this podcast is kicking off and it's going well. Where stats are going up. If anyone listening out there is interested in racing or want to put your name on the side of a very amazing race car, give us a yell. Because I'm sure JR would love to put your name down the side of it. Yes, it's going to cost a few little dollars here and there, but you know, give us a shout out if you want to put your name or a business. Like, imagine having the Cat Racing, like a Caterpillar. Imagine if Cat Australia ring you up and say, "Hey, yeah, we want to jump on board." I'm
what
sure
you like OnlyFans or something like that.
Well, we're open to
Coca-Cola.
Yeah, Levi might run his account. on the OnlyFans.
Definitely got an account.
Yeah, we've talked about that a few times.
OnlyCans.
Yeah. So we've got some sponsors on board. Like Joel at Rival Inc. obviously helped out with the new wrap.
Yes.
Big shout out to Rival Inc. with Joel.
That was amazing. The video.
Yeah, he's done a fantastic job.
Really good. So. Yep.
No, he's
100%. But I'm sure you won't knock back a deal or two with having someone's name on the side there one day.
No, well, hopefully, you know, the sport does get a, whilst it might not be on, you know, on the nightly news every night, it certainly gets a fair bit of YouTube airtime and you know, the scrutineering events where the cars are nice and clean and well presented are certainly well televised. And right, so, and yeah, there's some good opportunities
there. Definitely right. And with technology, like with social media these days, social media is a bigger means of advertising than any news event on Channel 9 or Channel 7 at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
So social media is the way to go for any type of that. So I'm just going to give a shout out. If any big companies want to get on board with your name,
Coca-Cola. Hey,
give us a buzz. I'll put you onto JR and we can put your name on the side of the car for sure.
Pepsi.
Yeah, maybe.
Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Definitely. All of the above. Righto. Well, I reckon we're going to have to call this quit soon because we're already a fair way into an hour and a half, which is a great potty. It's gone very quick again. Which, you know, that's just what happens when you get a bunch of lads together and have a good old yarn.
Well, can we get you back on JR after Hilson? Because I'd actually like to hear the journey up back out to the Springs and then back down to Hilson.
Listen, I think JR is going to be one of the guys that are frequently on the podcast over the next 6 months, 12 months, 2 years. He'll be back on the airwaves for sure.
Yeah, whilst we're racing, there's no doubt there's going to be some stories to be had.
Exactly. So I think 2024 certainly was a success. We've come home in fourth place again. And you know what? We've only got the little one percenters to improve on, because even when I was thinking about before when you were talking about times and where we came and whatnot, when you look at split times between where the fast cars are or, you know, the person that came first, you know, the splits far out, we are right there.
Yeah.
When you're talking the split times over a 60-kilometer range and they're only a minute down the track or a minute and a half, over 60, it's their little one percenters that we just need to
– Yep.
You know,
these are there.
We're there. Yeah. So 2025 hopefully doesn't hurt us as much as this trip. Like the desert's always going to bite. This year was a big bite. Next year, I hope we bite back.
Yep, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So, mate, JR, thank you very much for coming in. Thank you for being our first guest. How good's this?
No worries, boys.
It's been amazing, Barney. What do you reckon? We're good?
Yep.
So, I reckon we sign off. This is Stiffy. This is Barney. This is the Lads Podcast. And I'm out.
See yous. Bye.
See you, boys. Come on, let's go. I don't know what comes in, but I couldn't care less. There's no fear in my chest. Hit a pool for my steps. Walk away from the pain I've been through. This feeling of pain is brand new. This is the moment I break through. Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.